Good evening.
Good evening.
You can turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 15. I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, have read the story of Asa. And in chapter 14 and verse 2 we read, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." In chapter 15, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Obed," verse 2, "and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage, and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with him out of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. We've had before us these last 2 days. Are you going to be a Samson? Or are you going to be a Joseph? And that was the thought that was before me. And then I realized that isn't my goal. Am I going to be like Christ? Or am I going to be like this world? I believe I can say that everyone here has a desire to be like Christ. Maybe it's one day of the week, maybe it's 2 days of the week, but at some point we have a desire to say, Lord, I want to be like you. And then chapter 15, verse 2, "He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And this was a promise to Israel. And it's a wonderful promise. But we have so much more. "I will never leave you or forsake you." He will never forsake us. No matter where we go, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, he will never forsake us. It isn't, you're going to do this and I'll do this. It's not a 50-50 relationship. Christ is 100%. He is in all. He fulfills all. He is above all. He ascends through the heavens. There's no place in heaven that can contain him. And he's called us his brethren. But I have a question. With what we've had this week, we have to make a decision. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. Christ is longing for a relationship with you. The Heavenly Father's will was that you would be made whole through his Son. That you would be called the children of God. But if you forsake him, it's not that he will forsake you, but that you've just denied everything. Everything we've just talked about this whole weekend. This whole thing we said, you know, I want to be a Joseph. I want to be one that can be related that, hey, he's a man of God. He's an example of Christ. So what did Asa do? Verse 8, and when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. Are we going to take courage? With these studies we've just had, what is our responsibility? We've already had, we need to focus on Christ. But beyond that, who gives us courage? It isn't in us. We want to run away and hide like the disciples. God gives us strength. The Lord Jesus makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. We have so much more than these Old Testament saints. We have the entire Word of God. Why aren't we applying them? I'm speaking to myself just as much. Please don't get me wrong. Asa took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. We've had also that sometimes your brothers will not stand with you. I would like to make a clarification. There will be brothers that will stand with you. But at the same time, what is the reason you're going to go on for the Lord? Is it like Samson? Well, I'm just going to do it because of what they did to me. No, it's, I want to be like Christ. And people will want to follow the example that Christ has laid. There are many brothers here a lot of us take examples from. Chuck Berry, Brother Tate, Brother Redicup. We all look up to them. Why? Because at one point in their lives, they took courage. Whether it was at a Bible conference, whether it was at home, whether it was with their parents, whether it was a friend, they took courage. And here they're trying to teach us and allow us to see that it is possible. There is a way. Christ still has a plan for us. That's been reiterated so many times. He has a plan for our lives. All we have to do is give it to him. He's the potter. How often do we want to take and say, no, well, I want to be what I want to be. Christ is the potter. I am the clay. Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. I would like to take this and look at it verse by verse. A lot of us know the song about, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Does my soul thirst for thee? Can I say that I am nothing? My soul is just so dry in itself in this world that I'm absolutely nothing without Christ. That if I'm not in his word where the true water is, the living water, the everlasting water is, I'm going to just dry up. Spiritually. And we've had a great weekend. How many of you feel like you're overflowing? How many of you want to go home tomorrow? How many of you want to leave the cistern? You don't have to. How many of you will go home and say, well, okay, well, I'm recharged till the next Bible conference, So I'm just going to let my Bible get dusty, and when I go to the next Bible conference, I'll just, you know, dust it off, ready to go. Yesterday we had, we need to be reading this. We need to be indulging in it. It's something that we have a privilege. We might not have this privilege much longer. We had in Africa, they're translating the hymns. Why? Why would they want our hymns that the Lord has laid on certain brothers to write for themselves? Why in the wars have Bibles been smuggled? Why was the book Brother Andrew written? I don't know if many of you have read that book. It's about a Bible smuggler through the Iron Curtain. Just the desire they had to get the Word of God in their hands. And as was mentioned yesterday, how many of us have come from homes where there's 8 Bibles? And how many of them still look like new after 20 years? Verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And if I can make application, I believe we've been in the sanctuary this weekend. We've been in that place where the Lord has allowed us to have fellowship together. Do you want that to go on? It won't happen at the next Bible conference. It happens tomorrow. It happens next week. It happens through the next month, through the next year, till the Lord brings us together or calls us home. But why do I have a desire? Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. So many of the hymns we've been singing through the last couple days talk about the love of Christ. How we can't understand it, how we can't explain it, how we can't tell it all. How we can't fully understand all there is to Christ's love for us. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. How many of us understand something better than life as of right now? We should. If we're truly living for Christ, if we're truly reading His Word, He gives life more abundant.